Today is spiritual warfare. I have 15 extra minutes today. The title of this message is Resistance. Resistance. We have been learning over the last several weeks about Satan, the reality of him, the reality of his dark army, how he uses his slings and arrows against the believers. We also saw how he traps young believers and brings them into snares, and the whole thing is to try to cause them to fall away from what God has called into their lives. And today what we're going to begin to do is start looking at what God has for us. Okay? It's not enough to just get saved. You know, you're a member of a vast army. And you have to understand, and yesterday's message was really thinking about what is it that God has called into your life and what are you going to do to make it happen. You see, God calls it, we move it, and God makes it happen. But he's not going to do it for us. He's done everything he's going to do, and that was die on a cross. The rest is up to us. Amen? Amen. So what we want to begin to know is learning how to live this victorious Christian life. And a lot of us may still be under it, but once we get through this and you start walking this reality, you are going to say, man, this thing is so easy, I can't believe it. Right?
This is so easy, I can't believe it.
Amen. Turn to Revelation. You better get ready. Revelation 12, verse 11. Again, resistance. This is not the Borg. We are assimilated. And we will resist our former lives. Revelation 12:11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were not afraid to die. Are you afraid to die? Come on, do we have an honest person in here? Okay. Beef and beer at Jesus'. Isn't that how the rest of churches advertise it? Bingo. Well, the key for the believer today is to really understand that we are in a battle. Okay? And the assault is in our mind. And winning souls is the objective. Okay? That's the objective. But for us to live this life of victory, we need to win souls, we need to live in obedience to what God is saying, and really begin to understand how to love people unconditionally. Okay? And we're going to talk a little bit today about this verse. What it really means for the end time warriors, of which you are. Most Christians are basically lazy and undisciplined because they have believed a false gospel. Okay, this health, wealth, and prosperity message has really seduced believers into believing that that's the miracle cure for all the problems of the world. The reality of it is Satan has diverted our attention from really what the objective is, and we have gone and tried to chase after the glitter and glitz of the world. Thereby, we've become more satisfied with our own ease, we've become more satisfied with doing our own thing, and we are told in Thessalonians that in the last days men will become lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. Or lovers of doing God's will. And because of it, we live a life that is so easy. And God is trying to get the church, especially in America, to understand that a life of ease is not necessarily our prescription. Okay? Why? Jesus promised us that while we were still in the world, we would have a life of health and wealth and prosperity, didn't he? He didn't? Boy, you guys are eating your Bibles. I'm so proud of you. It's absolutely correct. Those of us that have lives of ease is designed by God, because what has happened is they have entered into the rest of the Lord. And Hebrews says that the people of faith have entered into the rest of the Lord. Not to the rest of them, like we only got a piece of them, but learning to stop doing their thing and start doing His thing. Okay? And so basically, when we become idle, the enemy, you know, he's really a bad shot. He can hit an immovable target, like all of us. We can. Long enough, you know, if we keep shooting at the target, we're going to hit it. It's the problem is when it starts moving around the field that we may not hit it. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants us to stop moving. He doesn't want us to move forward. And remember I said, if he can stop you from getting saved, that is his main objective. Because he doesn't want to lose any of his slaves. Okay? If he can't stop you from getting saved, he will stop you from learning who you are in Jesus Christ. Which is what we've been about in developing this ministry, is to really teach people how to get from point A to point B so that it can do point C. Point C is understanding all the power and authority that you have and then using it against the enemy, not against each other. And that's what happens, is a lot of times we get a little bit of knowledge and we start using it on each other. And we're real good. We slice and dice each other, you know. Oh, check my new sword out. And we're bleeding. That's not what we're to do. And what happens is, as the enemy attacks, he keeps darkening the minds of young believers. He keeps tightening up the reins to their sin issues, keeps them in bondage, and thereby, remember last week I said they become mummified? They don't progress past their infancy. And they're like this for 40, 30, 20, 10 years, whatever it is. If they're not progressing, they're not maturing, and Satan has won a great coup. Now, Christ died to set men free, and if you are free, then you're in Christ, right? Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're free men and women. You may not think that you are, you may not believe that you are, but the reality of it is, if you are in Jesus Christ, He has set you free. He has set you free from the curse. He has set you free from the power of sin. He has set you free from the guilt and condemnation of living a life less than what God has designed for you. You are free. You are free now to live the life that He has already developed for you. It is your job to find out what that is. Putting into practice those simple things that we've been discussing for the last couple years about growing in Christ and living a life free from doing harm to ourselves and to our families, and learning to line up with what God has said, starts with the individual learning who he is and then beginning to implement that. As that individual learns who he is, he begins to start manifesting it in the rest of his life. He begins to start structuring his life in such a way that is pleasing to God, not pleasing to our friends. And believe me, man, I had a lot of drug friends, I had a lot of alcohol friends, I had a lot of nasty friends. And when they came to me and they said, we don't like the way you are, Gary. For the first time, I said, I like who I am, though. You see, the problem with the world is we believe the lie that we have to make everybody else happy at our expense. And really, the only one that we have to make happy is God. And it never cost us anything. It always cost Him, because He paid for you and for me. Now, in this verse in Revelation 12:11, end time eschatology is teaching believers that the end is coming. We've heard about the rapture. We've heard about, you know, is it pre-trib? Is it post-trib? Is it mid-trib? And the bottom line is, I could care less. I could argue all the points about it. The point is, are you in Christ? That's the first point. Second of all, it doesn't matter when we get raptured. What matters is, are we doing what He has told us to do? Because when He comes, everybody's going to see Him. And so, May 21st, make sure you get out there and look for Him. I saw that billboard yesterday, and I'm like, that's a, you know. It's what gives Christians a bad name. James 4:11 says that we are to resist the devil. That word resist is not like, ooh, devil. That word resist sets a mindset of setting oneself against another as an opponent, as in hand-to-hand combat. It is to withstand someone who is coming against you and you being victorious. The problem is we don't think that we are victorious. We don't think that we have power to defeat the enemy. The truth of it is, you don't. Christ gave it to you. He won the victory for you. It's your job to learn what that is and how to appropriate that which what He's given to you. You see, while we're resisting the devil, while we're going through these trials and tribulations, our faith is being built up. Isn't that what Christ said? You know, you go through these things to build your faith up. Peter says, you know, that your most holy faith would be built up. I don't rejoice in trials and tribulations. Only when I find myself in them do I rejoice. Oh, hallelujah! Jesus is going to do something here. Oh, I stepped in it again. But as we begin to look to Jesus, what happens is in these trials and tribulations, we begin to start making provisions happen for us. The first section of this verse, it says that they overcame the adversary, the devil, our foe, by the blood of the Lamb. Do you understand that the blood of the Lamb is not only a weapon, it is a shield for us? To apply the blood daily on us is to do several things. One is to cleanse us from all our previous sin. It's not just enough to confess the sin, but now we have to be cleansed of it. It then cleanses every spot and wrinkle from our lives. It's like we never did anything wrong that day. And so we start off with that. Our minds are being purged because the blood cleanses our mind. It cleanses our heart of all evil thinking. And the next thing you know, when we're in the Word of God, we start studying the Word of God, these things start making sense to us. Don't it? And I remember when we started Streams, I told everyone, I said, all I'm trying to do is get us back to the plumb line. And it's going to seem radical to you in what I'm saying, but the truth of it is, once we get to the plumb line, then we get radical. And I'm not talking about militant Muslims and becoming Christian whack jobs and all. I'm talking about a radical way of living, loving people through their sin and leading them to Jesus Christ. That's radical. That's first church talk. And that's what it's all about. So as we're applying the blood and our hearts are being cleansed, the Holy Spirit does something really wonderful. He begins to start producing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives because we're resisting what the enemy is throwing against us. And we're appropriating the blood of Jesus to our lives in such a way that fruit is being produced in the resistance. Do you understand that when a seed falls to the ground, it actually resists the pressure that's put upon it to crack its shell? And once it resists enough, the shell cracks from that pressure and the plant is germinated because moisture gets into it and germinates that seed into something we call a plant, whatever that plant may be. We need to understand that most Christians today think of themselves as victims because that's what the world is telling them. You're a victim. Everybody's against me. Oh, my Lord. Do you believe it? Can you believe? I just can't believe how that guy became my boss. I should be that boss. Did you ask God about it? Maybe God is trying to teach you something. We're victimized. Oh, I should have gotten that pay raise. I should have gotten that new car. I should have gotten that new job. I should have had that girlfriend. But she's Jesse's girl. That was a good one. That was good. Yeah. That wasn't on a par with Pastor Rick, but it was good. We need to understand that the moment we begin to resist, we grow spiritually. The moment we succumb, we give up all the ground that we've lost in our resistance. We start all the way back from the beginning. And that's the beauty of repentance. That's the beauty of living a repentant lifestyle. That's the beauty of having this blood applied to us. We need to stop thinking as victims and start thinking of ourselves as victors. You see, most Christians have a mindset that I have to attain this victory. The truth of it is, Christ has already attained that for you. You now push from that point forward. You are already victorious. And that takes some time to really get into your spirit. It takes time to understand and comprehend this stuff. Well, you know what? I tried quitting smoking, but I just couldn't have, the habits just keep coming. Did you give it to God? Yeah, but you know, I've tried. No. Did you give it to God? Well, what do you mean? Did you give it to God and ask Him to take it from you and let Him give you more of Himself? No, I didn't do that. Well, then what are you fighting for? If you're fighting this fight, you're going to lose. But the moment you surrender it to God, you win. You're applying that win that He's already gotten for you. Turn to 1 Peter. We need to understand that our loyalty and commitment is to Jesus Christ first, not to ourselves. And that's the problem with the church today. 1 Peter 5. Verses 8 and 9. I want to talk about fighting the good fight of faith. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Resist him. That's what that's saying. Be strong in your faith. Remember that you and your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering as you are. You know, we think it's strange that find ourselves in different trials and tribulations, but everybody's going through it. You just sit down with believers and listen to what they're going through. And you're wondering, how can you rejoice in that nonsense? How can you put up with that stuff? How can you tithe to the church when you got bills? Well, God promised to take care of me, so I'm believing God. And you go back 6 months later, not only has God taken care of them, He has increased them. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God I believe in. And that's the kind of God I want to walk with because He knows where He's going and I'm following Him. I want to know somebody who knows where they're going. Amen? Amen. To resist is to continue with the Christ-like development in our lives. You know, we have that discipling of Roots, and I encourage you that if you haven't gone through Roots, go to Roots. It will turn you around in your way of thinking, and it will appropriate the proper thinking in your life to give it to God. You're not defeated. You are victors. You just haven't learned who you are and how to fight this good fight of faith. And the fight of faith is to remain cool, calm, and collective no matter what is being assailed against you. I didn't see Jesus get all bent out of shape when they beat him to a pulp. I didn't see him yell and scream at him when they were ripping his beard out of his face. I didn't see him, you know, say, no mas, no mas, when they were beating on his back and turning his back into hamburger. I didn't hear him cry out for help as he was carrying his cross. Oh, but God forbid we have a little bit of trouble in our lives. And man, we are screaming bloody murder like infants. You know, oh man, you know, what is going on with my life? This is normal. Suck it up. I know a lady who used to say, pray about it and get over it. And she was right. Loved that lady. Wish she was part of our fellowship. You see, as we resist the enemy and we remain cool, calm, and collective, something happens with our eyesight. The Holy Spirit begins to disperse the darkness that's around our minds, and we begin to start seeing a little bit clearer. You see, the blood of Christ emanates from off our armor that we put on, and the glory of God is beginning to radiate from us. And when we resist, it drives that darkness away in our comprehension to see a spiritual reality that we were first not aware of and second of all in denial about. Now it becomes a little more focused. We begin to understand why people act the way they do. And more importantly, we begin to understand why we do the same thing. This is why the devil attacks those who have filled their lives up with self. You know, I call them the opera singers, you know, when they preface their conversation with I, and me, and my. Christians always talking about Christ. I don't want to hear about that Jesus stuff. Okay. I don't say nothing. You know what? Because I know in whom I believe in. I know where I came from. I know what He has done for me. And that's the next part, is our testimony. They ever came to the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What's your testimony? What Jesus has done for you. What He's planned to do for you. You know, when we're sharing our faith with people, it's not sharing a faith that is mechanical. It is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. People can't refute the reality of what Jesus has done for me. They may not believe it, but they can't refute it. Especially people who know me and from where I've come from and what God has done. Yeah, He saved my marriage. He saved my relationship with my kids. He delivered me from alcohol and drugs. He kept me out of the pornography stuff. He began to change my life to see what's of value. It wasn't all the stuff and glitter. And I mean, I had Corvettes. I had Camaros and high performance cars. I had all that nonsense. But my family was going down the tubes. I used to play in all kinds of sports. I used to work all kind of hours. Used to. Because I died to that stuff. And this is why Paul exhorts us. Remember I was talking about the young widows last week who get caught in those snares? And how they run around becoming gossipers and they're only looking out for themselves. This is why Paul talks about us serving in a selfless means. Having us serve one another. Helping us to help. You know, with Nolan asking for help. I know it's hard for him to ask for help. But you know what? That's what the church is supposed to do, is respond when one asks. And I believe you guys are going to respond. We need to understand that as we walk in complete obedience to the will of God, we are going to meet resistance. And it all starts with what's between your ears. Because you determine how long you're going to resist, Not only if you're going to resist and how long, but to what degree you're going to resist. And God says through the Word, He says, you know, there is no temptation that's not common to man. Everything is common to us. You know, it's not something like when we get into sexual sin or we're doing something, embezzling or whatever. That's common stuff. But yet we treat it like it's, oh my God, it's the worst thing that happened. Did you hear about so and so? No, and I could care less. Did you pray for him? Well, no, I thought you may want to learn about this tidbit. I'm not interested in that. Because sin is common to all of us. We're susceptible to it. And the only thing that we can do is resist it. And as long as we're resisting it, and we start talking about what Christ is doing, now we're becoming empowered. We're turning the tide. We're actually now, as we freely tell people that we're believers, as we freely share what Jesus is doing for us, we are not only empowered, we're emboldened. That's why it's important to tell people what God is doing. This world hates God. This world hates Christians. They've embraced homosexuals and lesbians as the norm to raise children. Cut me a break here. It's one of the reasons why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Because of the militancy of the homosexual community. And we have that today. I know of an individual that just didn't know, you know, I'll experiment. I don't know if I'm male or female. You know, I was with this girl, so I'll be with this guy. And can't you see that's a state of confusion, that God is a God of order? He's not confused. He knows exactly what He's doing. And these people, they're confused. It's not God. We become this fortress as we're sharing our testimonies. And as incredulous as it may seem, everyone's story is unique. Now, I've not experienced the things that you guys have experienced, but you know what? I can identify with some of those things. Some of us have come from abusive families. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been the abuser. Some of us have had fits of rage. We've been thieves. We've been liars. We've been all this stuff. And yet we call ourselves good people. We're good people. Jesus loves me. Our defense. As we're resisting, we have to defend the ground that we have. We cannot afford to let our feet slip. Bible calls that backsliding. We cannot afford that. We can't afford that luxury in that. To be a true believer in Jesus Christ requires us to be on our A game all the time. And that's hard. I don't want to be on my A game all the time. And I have issues. Yes, I have issues. As they were telling me last night, I have plenty of issues. It's not enough to read this scripture and say, well, that's for the end time. I hate to break it to you, but you're in the end time. You're in it. Well, you know what? I got time. Jesus is going to rapture me out. This isn't about being raptured out. It's about setting up rewards for yourself. You know, salvation is a free gift, but there's tremendous rewards that we are promised through the scriptures. And we must have our eye constantly on the bema seat of Jesus Christ, because you know what? We're going to stand and give an account. Good or bad, we're going to give an account. And I think Christians tend to believe the lie that, but I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is a good God. He wouldn't punish me, would he? Did you do anything wrong? Well, you know, He's ever forgiving. Answer the question. I know he's forgiving. Well, what do you mean? Did you ever steal something? Yeah, I stole. Did you ever lie? Yeah, I lied. Everybody does. Oh, yeah, that justifies us. You know, if Susie jumps off the bridge, you're going to jump off too. Well, you know, that's extreme. That's how God looks at our condition, as an extreme. And he's going to judge us. We are in a battle not only for maintaining our own souls, we are in a battle to win souls. We are in a battle of raising godly families in a dark, hedonistic, atheistic world. Anti-God. The world is trying to tell you, you can have all the fun and the glitz and stuff. But my Bible's telling me I overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and I do not fear death. I've had a person put a gun to my head and pull the chamber around, and I saw the bullet go around, and I'm wondering why I'm still here today. Because of God. Because of God. And you guys have been out with me, you know, sometimes it's kind of comical how I'm witnessing to people. But you know what? You gotta find out where people are. You gotta find out and tell them the truth. You gotta be bold, because you know what? We won. We're believers. We won. I don't care what's going on in here. I don't care if Obama releases all the tax money to everybody. It doesn't matter, because there is such a fear in this nation, and there is such a fear in this world that it is designed to bring people into bondage and subjection. But for us as Christians, we could care less. You could take the house. You could take the car. You could have the job. I'll be like Johnny Paycheck. You can take this job and shove it. Because I work for somebody far more powerful than some measly two-bit businessman. I work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't really care what happens to me. And personally, I don't really care if I offend you. Because I'd rather offend you with the truth than offend him who is the truth. Our testimony has to be spoken in faith, and it has to be an exhortation of our victory. The problem I see in the church is we don't care enough about our friends and neighbors who are dying to hear the truth. Do you know that 85% of the people are waiting for an invitation just to come to church? 85% of the people in this nation are just waiting for somebody to invite them to go to church. You don't even have to witness. Hey, look, just come to church. 85%. I'm thinking about the other 15% too. Why aren't we getting everybody? Do we need another catastrophe to get people to come into the church only for them to fall away? To believe that this is real serious stuff? This is the reason why Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. He paid for my crimes and your crimes. And we know that. But to solidify the deal into believing it, he rose from the dead. And only God can do that. He rose people. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He rose Jairus' daughter from the dead. He did that. And there are people in modern history that have done the same thing. And so will you. You will lay hands on them and they will recover. You will lay hands on them and the dead shall rise. You shall speak in other tongues. You shall take up things that are harmful and they won't hurt you at all. You see, as you apply this scripture to your life and it becomes real to you, then you will be able to take the simple little prayer that we started many, many moons ago. Remember that prayer we started many, many moons ago? It will turn into, I am what he says I am. I have everything he says I have. I can do everything he says I can do in Jesus' name. It changes from something that's really not tangible to something that is built rock solid. You are part of an intense army that is growing in strength daily around the world. I checked my emails today. I have a guy from London who is inviting Irene and me to go to London because they have listened to the sermons on internet. They have contacted NRP, which is our network. They want us to come. They're paying for everything for us. June 26th, or 24th, 25th, and 26th, to teach them how to live in this divine flow. And I'm not soliciting it. God's doing this. Because we know that God's calling me apostolically. And He's calling you. Where I go, you guys are going too. You gotta not care about your life anymore. You gotta not care about the things of the world. You gotta not care. I mean, hear me. Keep it in balance. Love your children. Love your family. Provide for them. Do what you need to do. But there's nothing more precious than the high calling that God has on your life and fulfilling it. It is your destiny that I'm talking about. I'm going to fulfill my destiny. And it's coming. 30 years ago, Jesus and I met on a mountaintop. And He showed me what my life was going to be like. He showed me the difficulties and stuff. And 30 years later, walking with Him, they are all coming to pass. And now the next aspect of it that I've prophesied to you guys is now coming and is here. And we are going to have our own building soon. Amen. It's been 3 years we've been looking, searching. We've been prepping for the Williamstown Festival. We've been prepping for a lot of things that's going on. But one thing that is that we need to prepare ourselves spiritually to get into this fight. You know, I don't see cowards here. I see fearless warriors in shimmering armor waiting to destroy the enemies of man's soul. To glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that when He comes back, we come back with Him, riding on steeds of white and watching Him to destroy the enemy that has perpetrated such heinous crimes against mankind, God's creation, and lied to them that we would rather believe the lie than the truth. And I'm here to tell you, I believe the truth. I believe the law, the life that He has for us is greater. It's an adventure. You can't even go into the military to have the adventure that we're having. I'm talking about the world military. You know, the latest thing that they're advertising is an army of one. Go in the army, you'd be an army of one. You must resist everything. Because in resistance you build strength. This is just the beginning. Next week we're going to talk about using our weapons and how that comes into play. But the first thing in resistance is you must not worry about your life. You overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, what He did. By the word of your testimony, what He is doing in your life now. And not care about your life. You know what? I've told you this hundreds of times. It doesn't matter. We're all going to die. That's what the Bible says. It's prescribed for man to die once and then the judgment. I could care less how I die. What I care about is how I live. And I want to live for Christ. Amen? Father, we just rejoice in You, Lord God. We thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You, God, that You are making provision. You are leading us, Father, to the next phase of this vision that You have given us many years ago. And God, we just rejoice in You. We rejoice, Father, in the Word of Truth. We rejoice, God, in You, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. You know what's best for me, God, and I surrender my life to You, God. I admit I don't like the trials and tribulations, God. I don't think anybody in their right mind would, but You know what's best for me and You know what's best for streams, God. And we know that we can't go anywhere because no one else speaks the words of salvation but You do, God. Yeah. God. Be merciful to us, Lord God, as we continue to walk in our ranks and learn how to use our tools and weapons, God. Because one day you're going to call us to battle. And will we withstand in that day, or will we fall? It doesn't matter, God. We know we're going to do it unto your glory. So as we go forth today, God, and this week, I pray that we really think about where we are with you, God, and take that next step of commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.